Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome. Hello, hello, hello. Ready to elaborate. Good evening again, ladies and gentlemen, and I would like to welcome you to the Labrish. This is Margaret Marshall, your host on Blog Talk Radio, Backyard Labrish. And we are here each week on a Wednesday to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And I want to welcome our listeners on the board and to tell everyone else that might be listening online or coming by later to listen to this broadcast today that we have the pleasure. I will be playing a pre-recorded segment with our special guests, because for those who might not be on my mailing list, I'd like to just let you know who she is and what the show is all about today. We're having a conversation with 94-year-old Mrs. Gloria Stewart, a Jamaican born in Spalding, Manchester, in 1915. Now, her grandparents came directly from Ireland, and when she was 2 years old, she moved with her mother and father and the rest of her family, I guess, to Germantown, which is near Ulster Spring, Trelawney. So then that part of the island was heavily populated by descendants of Germans and Irish immigrants. Now, Mrs. Gloria Stewart is lovingly called Aunt Gloria by her many nieces, who I'm sure are scattered all over. And I must tell my listeners that she was brought to the Labrish by one of my regular fans, who is her niece. So what I'm going to be doing in a little while is to be playing the segment that we pre-recorded with Aunt Gloria, and then I think this is such a wonderful medium. I want to thank the listeners that are online and also the ones that have called in. And I'm sure that it might be some of Aunt Gloria's relative or even Aunt Gloria herself that will be listening to herself talk about the good old days when she grew up in Germantown, Trelawney. Now, one of the purposes of this show is so we can have verbal information and memories and stories of what life was like before independence. That's the period that I knew, and I loved it then, I love it now, and I suppose I'll always love my country. But there was not a lot of information about the period I grew up in, like a lot of the people who left before independence. And I wanted to have, you know, some sort of memories that were recorded so our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren will be able to hear our voices and in our own little way tell about what life was like then. So, again, I want to welcome everyone, and now I am going to play Aunt Gloria's segment of the show. So bear with me again. And I just want to let you know that, you know, on this show, we're not politically correct. Our only platform is to enlighten and preserve. So welcome to the Labrish, and I'm going to put our pre-recorded section right on with Dear Aunt Gloria. So here we go. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret, and this afternoon I have the wonderful pleasure of a conversation with someone older than me, and that is quite a thrill. I am so excited. I am waiting for my featured guest to call in, and in the meantime, I do have her relative, her niece, on the phone, so they both will be joining me in the conversation. But I see that they've called in now, and I want to open up the mic and welcome Mrs. Gloria Stewart. And I'm going to do that in a minute. Hi, Janine, you're there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am, dear.
Okay, well, I want...
Hi, Aunt Gloria. Hello, Janine. I'm here with you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hello. May I call you Aunt Gloria, too?
You can, if you like.
Oh, my goodness. It's such a joy to Gloria. Because I keep saying that I never get a chance to talk to anyone older than me. You know, I call myself on the radio a senior. Because I have not been able to get any of my friends in my age group to come and have a conversation with me. So I am particularly thrilled to have you, and I want to welcome you to the Backyard Library.
Just like myself.
Okay. And your niece Janine, when she told me how sharp your memory was, I was really quite excited. Because my passion is to leave a living legacy for my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren of what life was like in Jamaica before they became independent.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you, but I left Jamaica before they became independent. And that those are the memories that I have and the past that I can talk about. So I want to thank you first for being willing to share your memories with not only me, but the rest of the world. So welcome to the backyard.
Well, I am living in Tampa, Florida, as you know.
Yes.
And you know my name already.
Well, would you tell it to the audience again for me,
please? Well, my name is Gloria Stewart.
And you were, what was your name before you became a Stewart?
Smart. Yeah.
Okay. And originally you were born in Spalding, I understand?
Yes. I was born in Spalding because my father was from there.
Oh, your father was from Spalding.
Yes.
Do you know what is the background of your father's parents?
No, I don't know.
Okay, all right.
Because
so you were born in Spalding.
Yes, and I lived there when I was small.
Uh-huh.
My eldest sister was born there and me. My mother got married on the 1913.
Wow.
Yes, my first sister was born 1940.
Uh-huh.
And I was born, her name was Myrtle. And I was born on the 15th,
uh-huh.
11th of December. So my mother's father and mother was still in Trinidad. But she wanted us to come down, you know, to live beside them. So she leaves Spalding and come down there.
Oh, so she went to Trelawney because of a sister.
Yeah.
That was living there. You know, I like to bring all these things out to the young people so they can remember, well, they can have a little glimpse of how close families stayed together in the old days.
Yes. Not sister, mother and father. was dear. Her parents was dear. So she wanted to come to live with them.
I got you. And that was when you moved to Germantown?
She loved the Germantown.
Oh, okay. Now, Janine mentioned that it was also Ulster Spring. Was Ulster Spring the name of the town or the name of a plantation?
That was, Ulster Spring was, we have to leave Germantown to go to Ulster Spring. It wasn't the town, but the town was Albertown, around 5 miles from Ulster Spring.
Oh, I see. So Ulster Spring was like the downtown part of where you were.
Yes, where all the popular things was.
Right. In the old days when I visited the country, they would say you're going to the square.
Yes, I'm going to country.
Right. You're going to town.
Yes.
Yes, so it was the town part of the country.
Yes.
Of that part of the country.
Yes.
Because I remember now, my relatives were from Savlamar, and Savlamar was the town part of the country, the surrounding countries.
Yes.
In my mind, I can relate to that.
Yes, you know.
So definitely.
We was living in Germantown.
In Germantown, yes.
Well, they call it Germantown. It was owned on the main road. It was, you know, it was only Irish and German living there.
Right.
No colored people was living at that area.
I understand that.
And then now, we have Ulster Spring. We have the school, that was government school. We have two churches, Baptist and Methodist. And we have the courthouse, and we have the hospital also.
So anybody living in Germantown would have to go to Ulster Spring for those?
Yes, if you want to go to post office, or you're sick and you want to go to hospital, you would have to go to Ulster Spring.
And how would you get there?
Walk.
You would walk?
Yes, you don't have no car.
Uh-huh.
Those days was only office, mule, and donkey.
Right.
When I was there, when I was small, I had never seen a car.
Wow.
You had buggies too, right, Aunt Gloria?
Yes. But only one, those are the wealthy people that have done. Mm-hmm.
Right. Like in most other parts of the island, it's the people that had, you know.
Yes, more than the other rest.
Right. And now, did you go to school in Germantown or in
Ulster Spring. No school.
Oh, that's where most of the activities were. So
yes.
Germantown was more or less where everybody lived.
Yes, living area.
I got you. And Ulster Spring is where they went to school and went to the doctor and did their shopping and all of that.
No, we have shopping in Germantown. Not
oh,
sure.
I got you.
Shop where you about get grocery and all like that. From.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, what did your parents do for a living?
My mother never worked.
Uh-huh.
My father, he was a sawyer man. When people make in house and all like that, they would order the lumber from him. And then he would look after it, and they would buy from him to make the house, give a father, you know, board and all things that the house require.
Oh, so he would get whatever they needed to build a house.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Now, how did he get around?
He has to walk.
Oh,
And going through the wilderness to get the trees. All the trees to make the boards and all like that.
Oh, my goodness. So he got it from the tree and then got people to cut it into lumber and then deliver it to where the house was going to be built.
Yes.
Wow.
But he also used to ride, didn't he?
Yes. You ride all the time. And a lot of people have cars, you know. They make cars and they have two mules and four to it.
Right. That was a mode of transportation when you're transporting goods.
Yes, you understand? And the farmers, them would have the cart that they take the food to market and all that, you know?
Yes.
Uh-huh. That's where we live.
So what was school like in your days? How far back can you remember anything about school?
School was all right. It was just, did I learn you? Yeah, you see, go right up, you go to school. You never enter school that time until you are 10. You go to other schools, they have little private school that, you know, someone might have a little private school at our home, and then your parents would send you there until you say, no, you're going to the big school.
Oh, you know, somebody else from another part of the island told me that.
You understand?
That there was... like village schools, people in the community that you lived teach a group of children, small children.
And then you have to pay for it.
You have to be able to afford it in those days. Okay. And then after that, now you would enter the government school.
At 7.
Most of the schools at that time were church-operated schools.
No.
Not in your area, okay.
No, government.
Government school.
Yeah. Everybody go there.
Uh-huh. Now, do you remember what games you used to play at school?
Well, you know, I wasn't trying that much for that, but we play baseball and all like that, you know.
Yeah.
And we get recess and lunchtime, 12 o'clock as usual. We would go outside and then we play. And then when school called, all of us in again. And then
Aunt Gloria, what did they carry the lunch in?
Well, the poorer people, them carry them. They have pans, we have tinsmith, you know, that's in the era, that make these things. Yeah, with hunger.
Mm-hmm.
And then they make pans and with cover, and then the poor people's children then carry their lunch.
Yeah,
some of those children have to walk over 5 miles to come to the school.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think they were called shot pan at that time.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I remember hearing about that.
And can with hunger, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Who can buy mug? Then you use that.
Uh-huh.
You understand?
Right, I got it. Yeah.
And
so what about entertainment? Like when you were a teenager,
what did people
do for entertainment?
We would have concerts.
Concerts, I see.
And children would go up on the site and sing. And also big people.
Uh-huh.
We have a lot of pressure. It was quite different from these days.
But it was fun. I said it was still fun.
Yes, fun. You have all the pleasure. And then you, on a Sunday, you would go to church. And then they have concert there where the children... And Easter time, they would march and carry the presents and all like that. Missionary and all like that.
Now, what religion were you your family participating in at that time?
Methodist, up to now. I am a Methodist. I can't go to church, but I am a Methodist.
I got you. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Do you know if the church you used to worship in is still standing in Jamaica?
Well, it was blown down, and they built this back.
Oh, great.
You understand?
Uh-huh.
Those two churches remain there. The Baptist church, the people of them, black, go there. I believe mostly why they go there. Baptist minister baptized people. And they, I don't believe the white people them would baptize.
Oh, and it's then, a different form of religion.
You understand?
Right. Well, you know, Aunt Gloria, a lot of foreigners do not quite understand the cultural mix of Jamaica. And a lot of times when they see and hear a white person speaking like a Jamaican, it really, you know, they're confused.
I know.
Because they do not realize that people from all races came to Jamaica in the old days.
Yeah.
The Irish, a lot of Irish people came and settled in certain parts of the island. Germans came and settled, pure Germans, mother and father. And those people had children in Jamaica, like you, and they consider themselves Jamaicans.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
Yeah.
Well, people who grew up in my time, which is in the 30s and 40s, and my mother was born in 1912. She passed away. However, during those periods when I visited my mother's hometown, there were pure white people all over the place and pure black people all over the place,
yeah.
But that are mixed with both races all over the place.
Yeah. Yes.
So it was never strange to me.
No.
Well, and when I came here to the United States, seeing the difference in the two races was never strange to me because I grew up around it.
Exactly. So you know what it is.
Right. But a lot of foreigners, both white, don't understand that, and that is one of the reasons I was anxious, or I'm happy to have you on, because you can talk from a perspective of being a white Jamaican.
Well, my great-grandmother was when she was, her mother was coming down, mother leave Ireland and come to Jamaica. She was born and the sea coming over.
Uh-huh. Oh, so, that's interesting. They came over by boat and your mother was born while they were coming over.
Great-grandmother.
Oh, your great-grandmother.
Was born and the sea coming over by boat.
Do you remember what year it was? Did you remember?
No. I could not remember that year. I wasn't even born that time. My mother wasn't even born that time. She only heard the story.
I got you. I see where someone from 718-379 wants to join the Labrish.
Yes.
Aunt Gloria, do you mind if I plug them in?
It's Lay, Aunt Gloria. You remember Lay?
Oh, sure. Lay, how are you, my dear?
I'm opening up the mic. It's taking a little while, but he'll be on soon. You know, Aunt Gloria, with this modern technology, we just have to work with it. Sometimes it works right away, and another time it doesn't. So wait, your mic is open, Mr. Lay. You want to say hi to Aunt Gloria?
Lay on me, all right.
It's funny, you're coming up. I'm on the other phone, but... I didn't see your name. I saw Saul, who is the guy that bought my father's house.
Interesting.
How are things?
Glenn?
Lay?
Is that you?
Hello?
Yes, Lay. She's saying, asking, is that you?
I can't hear you.
We remember Gloria. Sure.
He can't hear you. He's plugging in another phone.
Two buns? You mean regular buns, eh?
Okay, well, apparently he's on his cell phone
yes.
or something because I hear an outside background.
So, Aunt Gloria, we'll continue our conversation until he can pick up. His mic is open, so hopefully
yes.
he'll join the library soon. So, you know, you're actually being broadcast, or we're recording the show, and it will be broadcast on Wednesday at 8 o'clock. So I want to talk as if our audience is listening to you right now. And I want to just let them know how wonderful it is for me, and I'm sure for the rest of the world, to have someone who grew up in your period with your background to talk to us about some of the things that you heard from your grandparents and parents and what life was like when you grew up in that part of Jamaica. Because, you know, when we know some facts from the people who really lived through those facts, it makes it a lot more meaningful.
Yeah.
So let me see if I can get Mr. Lay back in the conversation. Lay, can you talk with Aunt Gloria now? Apparently his phone is giving him trouble, so he's not available.
Well, I know Lay from me because of that child.
Oh, so tell me what you know about Lay from his child.
Excuse me 1 second. No, don't bother with that. I'm on the other phone.
Okay, all right.
All right.
But he knows me all right.
Yes, yes, yes. So you know him when he was growing up in Kingston?
Yes, I wasn't living in Kingston when I go to Kingston, but all this was spend time, you know?
Right, so, right.
Go and come.
I see. So we were back at talking about fun, what you had fun during the years you were growing up. And
may I share
with the audience that Aunt Gloria is going to be 95 in December.
No, I'm 95 December gone.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes, December coming, I will be 99. If I live, if God spare my life.
This December you'll be 95.
Yes, if God spare my
life.
Oh, so
you're 94 now.
I'm 94.
Oh, okay.
But you seem to have a very good memory, Aunt Gloria. Okay.
My memory is good because, you know, I can tell what years my sister and brother born and all like that. We are 2 years, some is 2 years apart, some is 3 years apart, and all like that. Guinean father, born in this country, but never raised in the country.
Ah.
Come and take him when he was 2 years old. So he was in Kingston.
I see.
He wasn't with my mother. My mother gave him up to see.
Well, you know, I am so happy that you said that, because that's something also that is strange to foreigners, because many people on the island, including some of my relatives, gave their children to other relatives to grow up or raise in different parts of the island. And I remember when I came here first and I was sharing that with some of my friends, they thought it was very strange. And I said to them, that was done a lot in Jamaica when I was growing up.
Of course. You have plenty. For instance, my mother have 11 of us.
11 children, wow.
Can one person raise your card? When a family come and say, well, you know they will carry them.
You have confidence they will take good care of them.
And then you will see them. They will come to look for you when they come. And you will go to look for them. So, you know, it was two of them. My sister and my brother. Both of them was raising things from them. They were 2 years old.
Wow.
And they must never come to country until when he was a long, young lad. Just like this. And he was the other way. One was with Louise one when she was 2 years old. She died.
Mm.
And she was the other way.
So you grew up with you grew up in the country.
With my parents.
Yes, and you married and stayed in the same country.
Same street, and have my three children.
Right. Now, did you marry, was your husband from your district or from somewhere else?
We were living in the same district.
Oh, in the same district. Interesting.
Yes.
And I know that, you know, things have changed. Now they call it dating. I don't know what they call it in your days.
Well,
when a young man likes a young lady.
Yes, you know. You come to visit in the evening and all like that.
Uh-huh.
Until when you can marry, you marry.
Uh-huh.
Go and live together.
Oh. So you didn't like go to the movie or go someplace on a date.
Movie.
The dating was in your house.
Oh no, we have dance when you reach a certain age, you know, 18 and all like that. The family will keep a party, and then everybody just invite you, and you go there and listen. You meet up one another and you hear and dance and chat and then come on. You have a good time.
All right. Now I'm going to ask you a question because I remember what kind of dance were they doing when you were growing up? Like as a teenager dating your husband?
Quadrille.
Thank you. Because as a child, as a young person in Jamaica, I visited one of my older relatives in another part of the island. I can't remember. If Leigh was on, he would tell me. But I remember we used to go, she took me to the square, and they were doing quadrille.
And
I mean,
what?
Not performing thing. That was what people who went to the dance participated in.
And what?
And waltz, yes.
Yeah.
The quadrille was with mentor music. I can't remember the name. What is the name of the music that
guitar,
they played?
Guitar.
Yes. And did they have a caller? Did someone call out the moves?
No.
You just know what to do.
Yeah, you just know what to do and play it and you dance.
Ah.
In old days, we have gramophone. We have gramophone that you have records to play from this gramophone, and you don't have to play.
Oh, I see. Now, I see that Liz raising his hands again. Leigh, your mic is open.
Yes, I am here.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I had an important call right in the middle of this, and I'm missing out on all the good stuff there, Aunt Gloria.
Well, it will be on Wednesday, so you'll catch up.
Yes, do you remember me?
Oh, of course I remember you. I miss the trips we used to take with Merle.
Yes, my daughter Merle.
Yeah.
And go to Ginny and them at dance and all
yes.
that.
Oh, yes.
I know. Yes, from me was a child.
Yes. Yeah.
So we're back to the dancing. This would be around in the late 20s or early 30s?
Just go on like that, you know.
Now, what year was it, Aunt Gloria? What year?
What? The dancing.
The dancing, yes. Yeah.
The courting, let's call it the courting between you and your husband.
From my born, the dancing was going on. So it's everlasting. You keep these parties, and then everybody go there. They have a thing. You go there to concert.
Yeah.
Sing, and who can dance. And
yeah,
then you pleasure yourself and come home. That's all.
Didn't they have a banjo and guitar?
That's what I was telling her.
Yes. And fiddle, because I see that in the country. I saw that in Westmoreland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And pipe.
and fight.
That thing that's a blow.
Yes.
I remember that too. So I don't know if any recordings were ever made of those music. It would be a shame not to have, you know, some documented history of those sounds.
No, you wouldn't have that.
Those days we don't have that.
Because you didn't have electricity, did you?
No.
Okay, so so tell me how the place was lit.
Lamps.
So the concert was like, let's say, call it in a concert hall, a little place where everybody danced.
Have lamps, light, big lamps, and small lamps, or like that. And have lantern.
Right.
One make lantern with shade over it, and all like that.
Yeah.
Right.
I think those they had gas lantern, right?
Exactly.
You pump it up.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember that.
So let me ask you something. Were there? I know that you married your husband was from your district, but when you go to this dance hall or somebody's house, you said sometimes people would arrange parties in their house. Were there girls and boys who didn't have a partner who didn't?
Sure.
Oh, there were?
Lots of them don't have a partner.
Uh-huh.
We had nice people. Even when I have my boyfriend here. Anybody come and ask me to dance, I get up and dance.
Wonderful. Yes.
We do the same.
Uh-huh.
All of us go there to enjoy ourselves.
All right. And what is the food? What you would eat during that time?
Who can cook? We have somebody one of the people who is there, you know, who the dance kitchen their house, would provide something, cook food or bake something or like that.
And what was the favorite? What they usually do for a party?
You mean eat?
What type of food did you eat? Like curry goat or
yum, rice, meat, and all different things. What you can afford, what you need. Or they would bake cake, like cake, or anything.
So there would be always a variety of food. Was there anything special kind of food that they ate in that part of that district that you grew up on? For instance, when I spoke to somebody from St. Elizabeth, we know they're big on their bami and fish.
Well, my father baked that.
Oh, he baked bami?
Yes.
Wow.
My father was a very good cook.
Oh, and you know, I am, this is the first, it's not a lot of men in those days. We're talking about in the late 20s, in the 20s and 30s. I don't know that there were a lot of men who were good cooks. So this is something good to hear.
My father was a very good cook. We always have somebody who works in the house. I am made. It was so cheap. They posted me $4 a month. But then he's ready. He do his own cooking.
So you had a helper.
Yes.
But your dad liked to cook.
Cook when he's ready, when he's in the mood to cook.
When he's in the mood.
Yes.
I know. Great. Did your mother bake or cook?
She can cook, but she never baked. My father, no, would bake pudding, cornmeal pudding, bread pudding, and all like that. He would bake bami, which I don't eat bami. And he would grate a corn and make dumpling with it and make hammy and all those things.
Uh-huh. Well, your mother had quite a few children to take care of.
Oh, yes. She left mother.
Wow. And I in our talking to you, I noticed that a lot of things happened in 2 years. You mentioned one of your siblings died at two. You moved from one city to the next city when you were two, and two of your siblings were adopted by a family member when they were two.
Yes.
They weren't adopted.
What I mean is they were, you know, they grew up. Right. Now, no official adoption was being...
Oh.
Let me just tell our listeners who might just be friends of Jamaica and coming by to listen that in those days, we didn't have the formality that is customary now. If a family member was taking a child... to grow up in their part of the city,
yes,
was just an understanding.
Yes, right.
And there were no formal papers.
There was still connection with the parents. Yes.
Oh, yes. They were never separated. Because no matter what part of the island families lived, they were connected.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I remember in Jamaica when we didn't have telephones, you know, and the telegram and communication was done by Morse cord. Is that what it's called, Lay? The tap, tap, tap?
Telegram.
Telegram, you know, yeah, Royal Mail. And
Right. But didn't they have the Morse code to tapping?
They had the tapping, yes, but that was mostly used by the railway. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I remember distinctly that, you know, my mother and her sisters are usually grouped together, either in the same house or in the next house or, you know, and whenever we saw the telegram man, I don't remember what he wore or whether he drove up.
Was in a red vehicle there.
But whenever anybody seen coming down the road and he looked as if he was going to be stopping at your house, everybody start to cry. Because it would be sad news.
Our place was not like that. You have to go to the post office to get your list.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I grew up in Kingston.
A telegram is the only thing that you will get from them. If anybody sends you a telegram, then they will carry it to your home.
Right. So usually the telegrams that came were telegrams of death. Somebody died.
And they're coming and all like that.
Right.
They will send you a telegram and say, we are coming.
Yes.
Good.
And then you look out for them.
Right. Now, do you know what kind of transportation they would be coming on?
They would have, if anybody's coming there, they either ride, it is country, but it's supposed to be Kingston, and they come into the country. They would ride in, they have cars, those wheels.
Oh, okay.
Or remember they had a railway. If they're coming from country, depending what country they're coming from, they could jump on the railway.
When you say car, you mean the tram cars on Gloria, not regular cars.
They have all that in Kingston, but not in the country. You don't have those things.
No.
Right. But life was good with your siblings, with your brothers and sisters. How many brothers were the 11 children?
Four.
Ah.
You mean father was the first one?
I see.
And the second one was born the 25th of March.
1925.
No. And the other one was born 1931. The last one was born 1936.
Okay. And now, do you remember if your mother had any of those babies at
home?
Uh-huh. Or did she go to the hospital?
No.
we don't have that. It's later on that now. When that happened, I was a big woman, Marie. You have a lady, they have a whole nurse, the whole one.
Midwife,
you know,
yes.
Nurse.
Uh-huh.
You hire them, they would come to your house and tend to your wife, and then you have to pay for it.
Right, right. Private midwife.
Yes. And they visit you every day until 9 years. They take you home with your baby outside.
Okay. So what, because I remember that too. In other words, when a mother was carrying a baby, they would make arrangement with a midwife to come to the house,
yes,
and deliver the baby when they were ready.
Yes.
And that midwife would be there and attending
every
to the mother. When the baby is born, they're there and do whatever they need to do. And
every
they come, and they don't live there, but they come and visit every day for 9 days because the mother stays in for nine,
yes,
days.
And those days you don't come out, the mother don't come out.
Right, right. Which I think will be very interesting listeners when babies are being born in the hospitals now and the mother comes out in the next day with the baby.
Aunt Gloria, could you repeat that about the 3 months? I didn't hear it.
When the mother has the baby, mm-hmm, in 9 days now, you stay in your room, in your bed,
mm-hmm,
for 9 days.
Yeah.
And then when 9 days off, she come and she tidy the baby and then she carry you in the living room. And you sit there for a time and you have to go back in your room because they, well, people always say that if you come out, you're going to take coal and all like that.
Right.
And you're going back.
Mm-hmm.
When you're coming out to visit anybody or to christen your baby, it's 3 months.
Okay, so you don't go outside at all
until three months. No. And when you go out to three months, mostly you're going to church to christen your baby.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, Methodists, as usual, they have the pastor have a basin with water.
Yes.
And then you have godfather and godmother also. So they go with you and just invite a few friends, you know?
Yes.
Go to church that Sunday. And the godmother might carry the baby to the minister, everybody around the altar, you know. And then the minister would take the baby in his home, and then he would repeat the words then, and then he would sprinkle a little water over the baby. And then you can imagine the uproar that baby makes.
Yes, yes.
Because the water is cold.
Water is cold.
So, Aunt Gloria, let me,
yes,
ask you this. You weren't Roman Catholic. You were Methodist.
No, I went to school there.
Mm-hmm.
Convent at Duke Street. But
yeah.
I wasn't a Catholic.
But your church also baptized in the way that the Roman Catholic baptized.
I don't know.
Because you said they hold the water over the basin and then sprinkle the head with the water, right?
Well, probably so. I don't,
yeah,
know because,
yeah,
I never go to a Catholic church.
Yeah. Because normally the other churches, they're baptized differently. But you said only the Baptist church during your time would baptize in the way where they would dip them.
They don't dip
the babies.
They bless them. They don't put water in that.
No, I mean when they are old enough to be baptized.
They baptize, carry them. The water is deep.
Mm-hmm.
Come to your shoulder, anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then to men was in the water, one this side and the other one, the other side. And the pastor would stand up on the bank and repeat the baptism to know. And the person hold you by your head and dip you in the water, your head go right underneath the water.
Right.
But how old are you then? What age are we talking about?
Go under the water like that.
Uh-huh.
You have to be about 18 before 18.
Oh, I got you. So you're more or less come of age.
Yes.
But as far as babies are concerned, they would sprinkle the water on the forehead.
No, Baptists don't do that.
They don't baptize babies.
You have to be grown to get baptized.
Yes, at Baptist church. But Methodists now, from the 3 months, go right up, you know?
Right, I got you. So the mother has the baby. The midwife attend her for 9 days before she comes out of the room. You come out of the room for a short time, and it's a 3 month period before you actually start activity. And the first activity may be taking the child to church to be blessed.
Yes.
Wow! This is some wonderful information.
Yeah.
I'm sure that a lot of our listeners will find very intriguing, especially when it's coming from someone who actually lived through it. So again, Aunt Gloria, I can't tell you how wonderful it is to have you as our guest, because, you know, this is going to be aired, and people all over the world, not just Jamaicans, but people who want to know about Jamaican culture or descendants of Jamaicans, long after we are gone, can find this information and will find this information in cyberspace where nothing can be destroyed.
Yes.
So you are making history as far as Backyard Labrish is concerned, because you are from a different period than Leigh and myself, and a different part of the island.
Yes. Yeah,
I really want to tell you how much I appreciate you
taking time. I'm going to tell you now how our Christmas goes.
Yeah, please do.
Those days, we prepare for Christmas different. The children, we can't wait to see this day for. And then, three of them would clean up the place. We have stone in our garden, you know, some flowers to guard it around, and they would whitewash it, and it would turn white. The stones then around the flowers root would turn white and all that. And then if we have a tree here, we would do the same, so everything look white and clean. Christmas Eve now, and we have people who they have drums, black people, and now New Year's night, morning, they will beat that drum and circle over 3 miles coming and going through the district and singing, "I wish you a happy New Year," and all like that. It was a pleasure. And then now we as children, we would wait for Santa Claus. We would have bags and all like that. We would take one of our mother's stocking sticks and not the bottom, and then we have the hole in, and they would put a little thing for us to can afford, balloons, fire rocket, and biscuits, treats, and all those things. Every Christmas morning, all the way, and suppose you need a pair of socks and all that, your parents would, you know, buy and put it in that stocking book. And then when you wake now in the morning, Christmas morning, everybody hungry to get a wake now, you know, to come and see what they have in the stocking. When you come, you get your stocking.
You get your stocking.
With all those presents, just close, like how the children here now would put up their bags to get this from the sun. That's just the theory.
Oh, so you had a similar customs where Santa Claus came
and
put stuff in the stocking.
Now,
do you remember when you figured out who Santa Claus was?
No, we didn't know at that time.
Yeah, you remember how old you were when you realized it was somebody you know?
No.
Ah, okay.
We didn't business with that to know anybody. All we were looking forward for is the stocking.
Right, you don't care how it got there. And it didn't matter that Santa Claus didn't come down a chimney.
I don't care. That's what they told us.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
That's what
our parents wouldn't tell me that is there is putting these things in the sachet.
Right, that would spoil the fun. So let me ask you something. Did you have, like, special foods at Christmas time?
Oh, yes. My father never, no puff put on hot fire for him. New Year, he would go to make special offer for his bread and meat, a large piece of roll, and a big cake for his bread. It makes difference. We didn't have machine to make bread, you know, and men often need that bread, and we have home that make that bread, and we go to the baker shop. And people carry the bread and the head and carry it through the district and sell it to people.
Ah.
That's the style.
And now, were the houses far apart when where you go up,
no,
or they were
no,
close
the
together?
Not too far apart.
Okay.
It's just like how these houses is built. That's the same.
I
this
got
side of the road, the other side of the road. You understand? Well,
yes,
like,
uh-huh.
Like, like that. It's only certain places that, as I told you, German town, where the Irish and the
German
live. That is on the main road.
Uh-huh. Now, what part of the fields behind where you live? I mean, did you plant things in the back of your land? Or where
yes,
you got...
Yes, the friend, your father would get men help him and dig down a hole, and they would plant that. They would plant corn and peas. They have banana cultivation. They have coffee plants and all that, like that.
Okay, so was that just for the family's consumption, or was it sold?
No. People have their grounds for where they plant a lot of yam and cultivation, where they carry to market and sell that for others. But small people like, for instance, one family, they only plant enough for them to get.
I got you. So they were actually eating from their backyard.
Yes. You understand?
Uh-huh. Yeah. That is wonderful. And, you know, Janine and Lay was on with me when we did the fruits of Jamaica. And I know we have found out that just one fruit has so many different nutrients.
Yes, and we have red fruit, we have yam, we have banana, we have sweet potato, not Irish. Those years nobody don't know about that. And we have pumpkin, pork. And all different grades of food.
And the fruits and glory, like mangoes.
Mango, or syrup, water, all different kinds of fruit.
Growing in the backyard.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
Aunt Gloria, I remember when I came there and visit. There, I don't remember if it was your property or another family, but they had a big maca factory.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes, grapefruit and all that.
Because a lot of people don't remember seeing maca factory. But I remember distinctly that I saw one in the country.
And they have sweet stuff and all those different kind of things.
Right.
Now the maca fat, Aunt Gloria, seem to be getting extinct because do you have anyone who lives in the district that you were raised?
No,
still?
Only my parents.
Beg your pardon?
It's only my parents that I live with. I go on
no,
home.
No, I mean, is there any of your relatives that is alive now that still lives in that area?
Yes.
My daughter is living in Ulster Spring and all my family is living there.
Oh, that's wonderful. So is there any of the original buildings that you knew, are they still, there?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, that is wonderful.
Aunt Gloria, you have two sisters and a brother still in Ulster Spring, right?
Yes.
They're still living there.
Yes.
How old are they? Yeah.
Mina and Naramita.
Yeah, and their age, how old?
They're not so old because Dudley.
Uncle Dudley is how much?
Born 1931.
Mm-hmm.
And Naramita born 1933.
Mm-hmm.
And Mina born 1922.
Oh, okay.
So they are not too young, you know.
Oh, they're young like me.
Right, they're just a little older than me, just a little bit. Now, we only have 4 minutes left.
Right.
So, Aunt Gloria, is there anything else you want to tell us? I understand from your niece that you had a business and farmland that you got farmed when you lived there.
Yes, my children. I kept them first when they still they are 10 and 11 and all like that. And I send them to school, to Kingston.
Right, after
so
that
they,
age.
They was living, they go and with Jimmy, them go in the same, Jimmy's mother and father.
Right,
so
right.
My children to live with them and they go to school. So Jimmy and my children, they grow actually together.
Very
right.
Nice.
So you were a businesswoman in your district.
Yes, yes. That's why I have to have a maid, a helper. Because
yes,
I have
yes.
No time to look after that part of district. I have my business. I have bar and grocery shop and pharmacy and all different things that we sell.
And you had property that was cultivated?
No, we didn't have. We don't cultivate. At that time, before we kept the shop, we had cows and all like that, and goat and pig and all like that, we raised and chicken and all those things. But when we have that now, we didn't have time to do those things.
So where was the coffee and the pimento seed? Who had that? Wasn't it you?
Yes, but we
you had people
had
to do it.
To do those work, you know.
Right. You weren't personally involved, but it was being
done. No. If you want, we have those, but we have other people to look after those things.
Right. So you were a real astute businesswoman in your time.
Oh, my dear, I have to work to send my three children to good school.
Right. Well, I just want to celebrate you. And to thank you for coming on the air so the rest of the world can hear directly from your lips some of the things that transpired in Germantown, Trelawney, Jamaica in the 20s and 30s. And I suppose even before that, because you were born in 1915, right?
Yes.
And your parents were took you to that part of the island when you were two. So, Aunt Gloria, we just have one more minute before our time expires. So, anything else you want to quickly share with us?
I would like to say something to my aunt.
Go ahead.
Right ahead.
Aunt Gloria, you have something to say?
Well, what about your parents? Or parents and all like that?
No, is there anything else that you would like to share before I say something to you? I would like to say
something. Well, your brother and I was very close.
I know.
We loved each other. Even I leave Jamaica 1980. And from that day, both of us correspond with each other by talking and so on. And I miss him very much.
And Aunt Gloria, I'm glad you say that because that is a part of what I want to say.
And
first,
your mother?
I want to.
Your mother?
You only have a few seconds, Janine.
Your mother was a very good woman.
Thank
God
you.
God bless her.
I just want to say before we get cut off that I want to thank you, first of all, for coming on and to share your story with the world. I'm glad I was able to do that, that it can be done. That we can always go back and listen to your voice
Well, yes.
And what you had to say. But most of all, I want to say, Aunt Gloria, I love you so much. And I'm not talking just for myself, but for the rest of my siblings.
I know that, my child.
And I want to thank you for when my father passed away, that you were always there taking his place, showing us how much he's still alive in you.
Yes.
And the closeness that you had with my father.
Oh,
Aunt Gloria, I can't begin to tell you how much we love you.
It was wonderful for somebody on the outside to look and see all of this. I was there, too.
Thank
so,
you,
Liz.
Liz, it's a pleasure to hear it in you, but you know, it was sometime last week I was saying that I was going to ask you.
You told me that you
have a house down here.
When I come down, I'm going to come and see you.
Oh, yes, that would be very nice.
Okay.
And I just want to say that, you know, this is a wonderful platform for people to connect and really express themselves in a very casual manner. And we're off the air officially now, but, you know, the show itself on Wednesday will be a little longer, Leigh and Janine, so we can fill in the gap. With some of what you want to say.
It's a pleasure talking to you.
Well, Aunt Gloria, I really, really appreciate you being sharing with us. And I hope that you will have a wonderful rest of your life and relax and enjoy knowing that you have contributed not only to your personal family, but to all the people who admire you, because Leigh is not your family. But,
but
he has already said how much he admired
you. I know him very well.
Yes. And we will talk about you more on the air when we get on Wednesday.
Okay.
So you can tell some of your relatives who might not, you know, this is a private taping we're doing now, but we're going to put what you said up to a couple of minutes ago in the segment of the show that's going to be broadcast on Wednesday.
My mother died when she was 104.
Yes, we'll have Janine, or I might talk about that before I put your voice on Wednesday. So it's going to be a great segment, and we hope that a lot of people will be listening in.
And you can actually ask Merle to dial for you, and you can hear it. Or if Merle, she can go on the computer. I think she has a computer.
You can put it on the speakerphone, and, you know, you don't have to have just one phone tied up. Yeah.
I have to go somebody.
All right, Aunt Gloria.
All right, Aunt Gloria, thanks.
Thanks again, Aunt Gloria. Okay, I love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Miss Janine?
Yes?
Thank you so much, honey.
Oh, you're welcome anytime.
All right. So we'll hear you on Wednesday.
Yeah, I tell you, Goose Pimple took me.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed that segment with Aunt Gloria and Janine. We have a couple of minutes, so if you want to add something. First, I want to apologize to our listeners that it didn't seem very clear at times, but, you know, with this new technology, as I said before, you never know when things are going to go wrong. Now, I don't know what kind of phone Aunt Gloria was talking to us on, so that might have been part of the challenge. However, I'm going to see as this goes in the archives if I can do anything to improve the quality of the transmission, because that might be out of my hands. But for the little that you could hear, it's just wonderful, I think, to have someone that is almost 95 years old using the technology to share some of what went on when she was a kid, from courting her husband to going to school. And I just think that that is very interesting. So with that said, again, I apologize for the low, the volume. because I know that I could hardly hear it. I don't know if it has anything to do with, you know, that, as I say, it was recorded. But I inquired today and hear that, you know, I can't control if someone is calling in. But I want to ask our listeners to be patient. Things get better all the time, and I just appreciate everybody that tunes into the backyard. I will say again, we're not politically correct. This is not an official, you know, transmission. I am doing this because I'm so passionate about having some vocal memories, stories in people's own words about things they're passionate about when it comes to the culture of Jamaica, or just things they want to share with us that someone had helped them to overcome. And we in Jamaica used to be so close in the old days, because although the island is sort of spread out to us or looked that way, we were always connected in families. So if anyone on the board would like to chime in now and offer some stories or add to what was said, do hit one on your telephone and I can open up the mic to you. Janina, are you there? Would you like to make a comment? I don't see a raised hand. So what I'd like to say now is that you're listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. We're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock. We hope we have something interesting always to share with our listeners that are on the board, online, or who come by later, just to tune us in. But we're open for suggestions, so do let us know if you have something you would like to hear us discuss in the Labrish, or if you would like to contribute to the Labrish in some way. So I'm going to open the mic up now for Janine, who's Aunt Gloria's niece, and she introduced her to the backyard. And before we go, so just a minute, hang with me here. Janine, your mic is open. Oh, no, it's not. Hold 1 minute, please. It's being a little frisky today. Now it's open. Welcome to the backyard, Janine.
Hi, Margaret.
Okay. I noticed the transmission was a little low in volume.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I will try to see if I can tweak it in some way. I don't know, but I'll try, so that if you go back, you know, when it goes in the archives, it might be more, you know, you can hear it better.
Right.
But did you have anything you wanted to add to Aunt Gloria's stories before we get off the air?
The only thing I can think of right now is that her mother, because of the age, you know, her age, she was also interviewed by Gleaner in Jamaica.
Wow. Do you know what year that was?
I am not sure of that, and I really forgot to ask Aunt Gloria about that. But they also interviewed her. And she was 104, going 105 at that time, and they had it, you know, all written up in Gleaner paper.
But I can tell you, and if any of her great-grandchildren or her grandchildren ever get to the show, you know, I think the Gleaner has the whatever is they print, it's documented and should be on a file somewhere there. So if they ever want to know what was written up, if you don't have a copy, I'm sure you can get to it.
Right.
So that's good that you mentioned that, Janine, because, you know, after we're all gone, perhaps some descendants of Aunt Gloria or yourself may come online, and I'm sure that if you sort of have some period and the name of Aunt Gloria's mother, then you'd be able to get some information of how they celebrated her for being such a citizen who lived so long.
Right.
You know, if they interviewed her at 105, 104, or after she was 100 years old?
104, I think it was 104.
And I think Aunt Gloria mentioned when her mother was born.
Right.
So that is something that could be, you know, you could perhaps research.
Right.
And I want to encourage all the young people that might come and listen to the show later on, that your past is always important. And it gets more interesting as you get older.
Right.
I know most people nowadays going through their lives, you know, raising their children or going to school, they don't think they have an interest in the older people and the things that happened long ago. But as you get older, you know, they say once a man, twice a child.
Yes.
You start to think back of when you were young and growing up, and you remember the things your mother said to you or your grandmother said to you. So, you know, I suppose we're humans and we sort of behave the same way no matter where we are or what culture we're from.
Right.
So the young people might not be interested in all this information or think they're not while they're young, but as they get older, it will become important. So I just celebrate the technology that we have. I know a lot of seniors tend to be scared of it or resentful of it, and I encourage them to embrace it so that it can serve them. And how it can serve them is by leaving their voice, their ideas, their stories, so that generations to come can find it. So with that, Miss Janine and the rest of the callers on the board that might not be raising their hands, I want to let you know how much I appreciate you, and I'm asking you to share the backyard with people you know so they can come and embrace it and learn from it and add to it.
Exactly.
So good night, Miss Janine.
Good night.
And good night to our callers online that I have not been able to interact with, but I'm getting there, so bear with me. Again, good night from the backyard, and as always, we'll be here next week with a very interesting story, and I will remember when I'm pre-recording that I have to do something about the audio. So please forgive me, and please come back next week.
And as we say, walk good. Don't
walk good.
Look here.
And make it a great week.
Night.
Good night.
Good night.